Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Casey Coleman, former Chief Information Officer with the U.S. General Services Administration. Well, Casey, I have the pleasure of talking to my guest about collaboration, the importance of collaboration and partnerships in achieving mission outcomes. Would you tell us how you leveraged partnerships to improve IT operations and outcomes?
One of the things that's been critical to our success is support and partnership and engagement from our program offices, mission line heads, and senior executives in other offices across the agency. And we've tried to create win-win outcomes. One of the things that I strive is to emphasize as a principle is this is not a zero-sum gain environment. This is an environment where we can find a way forward that benefits everyone. So that's one of our core principles is look for win-win outcomes. And early on in our first round of consolidation, we were trying to put in place some common protocols for how we do things like buy printers. And that was creating some consternation in the agency because printers were viewed as an important, you know, both an important tool and a nice workplace benefit. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we were going to constrain the purchase of printers, which in my opinion we had plenty of, was generating some concern. So one of the ways we agreed to go forward was to create a waiver process where we would ask the senior executive who or senior leader who had that program if they really felt like, you know, a new printer was needed, even though it wasn't required under the sort of the sizing boundaries and protocols we'd set up. They could sign the waiver. We would provide the printer, no questions asked. But we asked them to be accountable with us to understand that it's not just a $100 printer. There's the ongoing support, there's the ongoing consumables, and there's the ongoing electrical consumption. Not a big deal, but when you add up thousands of printers, it becomes a big deal. And so that waiver process, just a simple thing, but a shared ownership of the outcomes, really turned the conversation into one about how do we get to a better place as a team? And those kind of tools and the idea of shared outcomes and shared ownership has been one of the foundational principles I keep returning to.
I wonder, and given your leadership role at GSA, but also in the community, the CIO federal community as such, how was the CIO Council helpful during your tenure?
CIO Council is just such a nice group of leaders, IT leaders, who really share a very similar set of challenges. And it's an opportunity to get together. And someone's always doing something that we can learn from. Every meeting I go to, I find that this agency CIO or that one has advanced in a way that's helpful to us. We've talked to, for example, in our most recent round of consolidation, we talked to the VA folks, we talked to Interior, we talked to folks at Commerce, many different organizations doing similar things to bring IT resources together in a more efficient way. And we learned from that. And the CIO Council has been sort of the unifying mechanism for us all to have those conversations and also to understand from OMB and the federal CIO and the leadership of the Obama administration from an IT perspective, what are the marching orders and how do we implement those effectively and then give them feedback as to how we can proceed in the most effective manner.
I'd be interested in your perspective, given the critical role information technology plays in mission and program delivery. How has the role of CIO transformed or evolved over the last few years into a trusted business advisor? And more importantly, what are the characteristics of a successful CIO going forward?
The successful CIO is a conductor, a choreographer, not the owner of all the systems and the engineer running the systems, but the individual or the leadership team that brings those capabilities together. As we see technology trends like cloud computing, mobility, social computing, things that we've already talked about, those things are consumer-driven in many cases. And so people are using those services in their private lives, and they're expecting to have the same capabilities in their work lives. And so that consumer-driven technology trend is pushing us to use technologies that we didn't buy and install and run and configure in-house, but we are delivering as a service from outside the organization. And so bringing those together in a way that's secure, that's integrated, that protects the data and gives people the service they need at the point where they need it in a way that's intuitive and easy to use. That sounds hard. It is hard, but it is fascinating. And I think it really calls upon the CIO to be very collaborative, mm-hmm. to understand not only technology but business and speak in the language that is relevant to their stakeholders, to be I really think that you have to deliver foundational services before you get the trust to do more. So I think that if you can't do those basic things like keep the network up, deliver the email, provision new equipment for new employees coming on board in a speedy manner, those kind of things can make or break your ability to then talk about strategy and mission alignment and critical investments and, you know, making sure that the IT questions are being considered up front rather than at the end of a new strategy.
Casey, as you reflect on your tenure as a government IT executive, what advice would you give a government executive who wants to better align mission support functions with mission delivery?
I always think that this kind of transformation takes time, and you want to find the opportunities for quick wins and quick accomplishments, but in the service of the more strategic transformation. So, for example, when I first came to GSA, one of the key challenges I faced was one of the eGov initiatives. It was called USA Services, mm-hmm. and the goal was an end-to-end case management system for all government, which was a very ambitious goal. And when I arrived, I quickly realized that would take quite some time and might in the end ultimately be we might find that that wasn't the path that was going to be most effective for the public. So we started with just bringing together a common set of services, help desk, call center services, web services, email, print publications, bring them all together into a common team that could give common and consistent answers to the public about frequently asked questions, serve as a guide point for them to get to the right agency or program to get help, and give them a navigation path to get access to service. So it wasn't case management, but it was a unified constituent support environment. And we did that in a matter of 4 to 6 months and got that up and running. And then from there, we're able to go on to what is now USA.gov, which is a very successful program to support the public with hundreds of millions of inquiries annually. So the ability to give reliable information in a consistent fashion across any chain of across any channel of inquiry was a quick win that built some credibility for us then to go on and do more.
So as you transition to the future, and less your future, more the organization's future, and you're talking to your deputy CIO, who I think is going to be taking over for you what kind of opportunities and challenges will he face, and what kind of advice would you give?
Well, one of the things I think is I always think each leader has to find their own style, their own voice, their own approach. I don't think we all come out in cookie cutter fashion. And so the advice I would give to any leader is to be true to themselves, but also to really respect and enable and empower the team around them to I always use the phrase, do their best work, to give them opportunities. I think as a leader, if you can clear away the barriers that your employees face to getting their best work done, if you can take the constraints away, if you can minimize the distractions and you can allow them to focus and be productive, and you can recruit and retain talented people who can make a difference, you've done a good job. Mm-hmm. It's at this level, it's not so much about what you do, it's about what your team does. And enabling that team to be its most effective, I think, is the paramount challenge for any leader.
So, Casey, as you transition from public service to the private sector, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
I would say go for it. Public service is rewarding. It has its difficulties, but the difficulties make it all the more rewarding when you achieve something foundational and lasting. And again, at a scale that is really unsurpassed anywhere else. The opportunity to do things that are big and momentous and that are meaningful to the American public and to our government and to our nation is an opportunity not to be missed. I would recommend that anyone considering public service go for it. And whether you make it a career or where you spend a season in that job and then move on to serve and contribute in a different environment, as I now hope to do, it's still a worthwhile journey.
Well, Casey, I want to thank you for coming in today and joining us again. I'm sure you're very busy in your transition. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure and my honor.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Casey Coleman, former Chief Information Officer within the U.S. General Services Administration. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.